Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, August 19th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Well, we have an extended version of the show tonight, so let's get right into it. Let's take a look at what happened last night at the press conference in Ferguson, Missouri, when Joe Biggs and our writer who's off camera, Kit Daniels, confronted police captain Ron Johnson.
So, behind you.
Why are Christian Evans being infringed upon? I'm well aware of the danger. I've spent 8 years in combat.
Sir,
why are we being told where we can and can't go?
Shot the past week.
We do not want to lose another life in this community.
But if you don't like violence and act out your cops or dress like the military.
Why are our First Amendment rights being infringed upon? I know the risk involved.
Make sure there's some of...
Clearly, Captain Johnson has been trained to ignore questions from real reporters, and you saw he was just pointing out and searching for those journalists who have a corporate affiliation, as if the First Amendment says anything about press having specific press badges or $50,000 cameras that let everyone know that they are actually the press. Now, Johnson, of course, failed to address why the police in Missouri had to have paramilitary uniforms, and no other members of the mainstream media pressed him on this issue. And in fact, they rallied around the beefing up of the police state. MSNBC host Ed Schultz suggested on his show last night that police like these here in Ferguson, Missouri, they might have to be, you know, in this military gear in order to deal with the threat posed by anti-government groups.
But the Department of Homeland Security recently came out with a report saying that the biggest threat to our security is here within our own borders. There's a lot of anti-government groups that have propped up in this country, hate groups that have propped up in this country, and law enforcement in respects feels pretty much outgunned, and they want to be prepared.
So apparently, Schultz thinks that it's perfectly reasonable for the police to have armored vehicles and military weapons against some Americans, as long as their political opinions can be skewed as anti-government. Now, this has moved far beyond justice for Mike Brown at this point. What's happening is the media has moved in, and now they're trying to justify the need for all of this heavy military equipment. But the question, you know, it was kind of, why is our government heavily arming the police to now, why not? Of course they're going to need these equipment to fight against these rioters and these looters and these dangerous people. A CNN anchor today actually called out for water cannons to be used on the protesters in Ferguson.
Talk to us about what police are saying to you, why they're using this strategy, why this the use of tear gas, stun grenades, why not perhaps use water cannon? At least it's not going to have the same sort of effect, or maybe something that targets this small group. As you say, this blanket cover of everybody involved, everyone struck by the tear gas.
So viewers, of course, immediately took to Twitter to point out the historical context behind using water hoses on a predominantly African-American crowd there. And you can see all those pictures there, people angrily tweeting out a lot of things there from the 60s when the water hoses were turned on these protesters, peaceful protesters. They're saying, why not just sick the dogs on these protesters? And of course, earlier in the week, they did actually have the dogs out there. And then one person on Twitter pointed out to me and said that I was just being dramatic because, you know, the CNN anchor is British and they use water cannons in protests in Europe against white people, so it's not racist. And perhaps she wasn't meaning to be racist, but first of all, it does not make it okay. Are water cannons a less lethal form of police abuse against peaceful protesters? I wonder if this man feels that way. Dietrich Wagner was blinded after he took the full force of a water cannon during an environmental protest. His eyelids were torn, the lenses of his eyes were damaged, and part of his orbital bone was fractured. This man had his eyeballs ripped out of his face because of the force of the water cannon. And there at that particular event where they were protesting the cutting down of trees, 116 people were injured when the police turned on these water cannons. And of course, they used pepper spray and batons on the crowd as well. But here we have people saying, oh, the water cannons, whatever, it's fine. That's the police should use these things against peaceful protesters. People are protesting in the UK about the rise of tuition. So let's just go ahead and spray them with tear gas. Why are people saying that this is okay? And what the cops are using in abundance in Ferguson is tear gas. Our reporters, said that they've got hit with it multiple times on multiple days. Children were being fired upon in tear gas because they were just firing it indiscriminately into the crowd. Now, tear gas is a chemical weapon that is banned for use in war, but apparently it's totally fine to throw it at the crowds there in Ferguson. Despite its ubiquity across the globe and in the United States, tear gas is a chemical agent banned in warfare per the Chemical Weapons Convention of 1993. This was agreements were signed by nearly every nation in the world, including the United States. Now, according to a nerve gas expert at Yale University, tear gases are nerve gases that specifically activate pain-sensing nerves. Now, when used properly in low doses and deployed in open spaces, its effects are more or less harmless. People sneeze, cough, vomit, like our photographer there, and it might even cause temporary blindness. But, of course, the symptoms subside. Well, Howard Hu wrote in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 89 that the use of tear gas in civil unrest situations, it demonstrates that they're difficult to control and they're indiscriminate and they're often not used correctly, and that people exposed to high levels of this tear gas, some victims experience heart failure and even death. And of course, it's particularly detrimental to children. And, of course, the crowds were complaining there because the cops were firing tear gas into crowds with children. Our reporters can attest to you that tear gas, Jakari Jackson said, it's one of those things that you can definitely check off the bucket list. You don't even need to try and experience it for yourself. It's nothing that you would ever want to experience. But Missouri Governor Jay Nixon says that he was shocked at his department's response to the protesters there in Ferguson.
Yeah, all of us were thunderstruck by the pictures we saw. I mean, the over militarization, the MRAPs rolling in, the guns pointed at kids in the street. All of that, I think, instead of ratcheting down, brought emotion up, and that's why I made the unique decision to bring in our Highway Patrol, to have a local leader, Captain Johnson, from that community, in that community, which he has been, and to put a much different face on law enforcement there. And I think it has paid off while respecting and allowing the appropriate First Amendment rights for people to grieve and to speak.
Thunderstruck. The Missouri governor helped Ferguson get the surplus military equipment. Now, we reported yesterday that the particular representative there in Ferguson also voted against disarming, and they wanted these military weapons. Missouri participates in the Department of Defense Excess Property Program. To apply, police chiefs and sheriffs, they have to complete a 1033 application. You can look that online. You see that Nixon signed off on the application. You see his signature at the top of the application there. And it was just revised last month. And it says that the governor of the state of Missouri has designated in writing with an effective date of January to implement this program statewide, as well as conduct management and oversight of this program. So I guess what he was particularly thunderstruck by was what it actually looks like when you give surplus military supplies to the local police departments. They weren't even prepared to use them. And like we've been saying, they were almost salivating at getting an opportunity to use their toys, their new toys, against the peaceful protesters. But it just goes to show how quickly local police can turn a small town into a war zone when you give them weapons of war. And of course, it's a huge wake-up call to all of the states that are participating in this program, an opportunity for them to actually question if these weapons and supplies are being used properly and if these departments actually need access to these particular weapons of war. Here's what Obama had to say when he was asked if it's proper to militarize the nation's police force.
I think it's probably useful for us to review how the funding has gone, how local law enforcement has used grant dollars to make sure that what they're purchasing is stuff that they actually need. Because there is a big difference between our military and our local law enforcement, and we don't want those lines blurred. That would be contrary to our traditions.
Now, some representatives say that they are looking into revising that program. There's a need to revise the program, but that's all just a red herring. Just like Governor Nixon saying that he was thunderstruck when he was the one who signed off on the program for his state. Obama saying that they need to maybe take a look at this program and how it's working is a total lie. They are preparing to mow us all down. We've got the documents. We broke this yesterday. The documents are right there. They just released this earlier this year in April. And the key point, one of the key points of the manual, says that it considers civil unrest to range from simple, nonviolent protests that address specific issues, like that environmental protest where the guy got his eyeballs ripped out, or this particular protest that's against police abuse. That basically, they're saying that these events, harmless, nonviolent protests, and then the ones that can turn into full-scale riots, are places where they could use lethal response directed against unarmed civilians. So this is what they are planning. They're not planning to unarm the police that they just gave all of this military equipment to. That's been their plan all along. We have the documents right here. So it's a total joke that they say they're going to revise it. It's just something to distract us and make it like the protesters there said, Obama, he's helping us. See, he came out and he said that he was doing something about it. And that's what they do. They just say they're going to be looking into the situation. But obviously it's quickly escalated and support for the peaceful protesters has now quickly turned to people calling for water cannons to be deployed on the rioters and the looters, because that's the whole story has now shifted. Obviously, we do not agree with provocateurs and people throwing Molotov cocktails at the police, endangering the lives of the police force that's there, as well as other citizens around them and their private property. But of course, we've also said from day one that people are being sent into Ferguson to provoke violence and inflame the local citizens. And of course, this will justify martial law. Now, this article is up on Infowars.com. Last week, Fox News reported that the FBI was concerned members of the New Black Panthers are in Ferguson, Missouri, to advocate and promote violence against police. Now, the report was filed on August 13th. There was an alert issued by the St. Louis division of the FBI claiming that the National Chief of Staff of the New Black Panther Party and others traveled to Ferguson to exploit the protests in response to the shooting of Michael Brown. Now, that FBI alert didn't prompt any action by the Justice Department or the Obama administration. And in fact, the New Black Panthers have been caught working directly with the police to control the protesters, to protect the police in some instances. We've got video of that up on Infowars.com, and it's also up on the Alex Jones YouTube channel. We've just got so much footage there just showing these people are working hand in hand. Now, in addition to the probability of provocation by the FBI, the journalist Dave Hodges reports that the Department of Homeland Security may be involved in inciting violence there as well. Now, Hodges wrote on August 15th that a DHS source told him, stated that the DHS is running the Ferguson Police Department and their actions are designed to antagonize and to provoke the locals to violence. He further stated that he believed that the ultimate goal is to inflame the local citizens to such a point that martial law will be declared. Now, the DHS, according to the source that was cited by Hodges, has inserted agents provocateurs within the New Black Panthers. And, of course, that is something that we are seeing happening in Ferguson, which is why, you know, the mainstream media is really focusing on all the violent looters and the rioters. But they also say that people are coming in from other areas. CNN interviewed the new Black Panthers there today saying, we're getting reports that there are some provocateurs coming in from other areas. What say you about that? Basically asking their own to give us the hard facts there about provocateurs. And provocateurs were also used during the WTO protests in Seattle in 1999. We covered this extensively in Police State 2, The Takeover, which you can have instant access to at prisonplanet.tv. But coming up, we're going to be speaking with Fritz Springmeier, and he's going to talk extensively about the Illuminati's role in protests like this and others. That's coming right up. You're not going to want to miss it.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can like taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
And welcome back. Joining us now is author Fritz Springmeier. He is the author of Bloodlines of the Illuminati. It's a book that we sell exclusively at the InfoWars store. And this particular book provides a wealth of material and insider information on the Illuminati and their bloodline based on eyewitness accounts. Fritz, welcome back. It's great to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, Leanne.
What do you think about what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri? America's really getting their first taste of the over-militarization of the police force and what that actually looks like.
Boy, you said that very well. You know, the police there have more body armor and more weapons than what we had given our soldiers that went into Iraq back in 2003. And they're not as well trained. It's not a good idea to use the National Guard and militarized police in a situation like that. You're asking for problems. Traditionally, historically, there's always been problems when governments have gone in and done something like this. There's always excessive force.
Right. Well, that's just basic. If there's a occupied country, you're going to have resistance. And that's pretty much what we're seeing there on the streets of Ferguson. How would you compare this to previous protests?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, back in 99, the kind of the watershed protest was the World Trade Organization protest in Seattle. And when that occurred, the Illuminati pulled all of their organizations together, the Business Roundtable, Trilateral Commission, Council for Relations. They got a PR organization, Black Kelly, Healy and Scruggs, that's out of Washington, D.C. They got the Center for European Policy Studies, the Euro Policy Center, which those last two are based in Brussels. They got all of these organizations working. How can we stay on top or control these kind of situations? And, you know, this thing, can get out of hand because there are protests in the past that have gotten out of hand, like back in May of 68, for 3 days there, the 28th, 29th, and 30th. The French government couldn't deal with it. In fact, Parliament in France said, we're ready to create a new government because the government couldn't deal with the protest. So there have been monumental protests that have had an impact. But what we see happening here in Ferguson is something that the controllers are going to be able to manipulate and benefit from. In contrast with the World Trade Organization protest, which got them alarmed and they had to sit down and brainstorm how to deal with these things in the future because it got out of hand. This one here in Ferguson looks like it's setting up, end time scenarios for them to gain more control, to scare people, to take our guns away, just all the things that Alex is warning about.
Right. And in 99, they weren't even having to deal with the effects of social media and how fast things can get exacerbated just by word of mouth getting passed around, like on sites like Twitter and things like that. And this situation in Ferguson really didn't even start on Twitter. It started there in the streets. And then as the media and more people kind of picked up on it, it really ramped up. But we've reported on how the Pentagon is, of course, studying the tipping point in civil unrest. And, I mean, do you think that they were prepared for this or had any hand in it?
Well, I think that in all of these cases, because of the extensive intelligence gathering that they have been aware. I think even in the World Trade Organization 99 protest, they had an awareness that it was going to happen. They have people infiltrated into a number of these organizations that took part. The question is will they get out of hand or in a way that they don't want? Now, of course, they want some chaos. They need that chaos to cut and bring in the order that they want. So, yeah, I think that they definitely had prior knowledge that this was going to happen. And that was one of the things that I was talking to Alex about was back in the 90s, working with people that were under the trauma-based mind control, finding out that they'd been programmed, whether it was police or criminals or whatnot, a wide range of people had been programmed to participate in these chaotic disturbances.
Well, exactly. We've got an article up by Kurt Nimmo up at Infowars.com, basically talking about how the FBI and the DHS has been using provocateurs, and potentially we've got the new Black Panthers there, kind of provocateuring and really ramping it up and basically convincing these protesters that they're on their side, but really it's more to incite racial tension.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you guys have been doing a good job of covering it and giving people the bigger picture.
Well, switching gears now, we just sort of had an untimely suicide, Robin Williams, actor Robin Williams. Now, we know the Illuminati deals a lot in ritualistic murder. Sometimes they make things appear to be suicides and things like that, especially of celebrities. What does that really mean? What's the purpose of that?
Well, in his particular instance, and one of the reasons why I feel like I have something to contribute in the discussion is that I know somebody who was very close to Robin Williams that was around him. And also I worked, as I've said previously, with victims of trauma-based mind control. That's program multiples. So I have some things to contribute in terms of Robin Williams. At a certain point, for various reasons, the controllers, if they decide that they no longer want a particular programmed person and somebody like Robin Williams, then they can do what they call, their terminology is, throw them from the freedom train. Mm. And these people have suicide programs, and a typical suicide program is to slit your wrist. Now, the reports that have come out is that he had slit both of his wrists, which would be standard suicide programming for trauma-based mind control. What's really bizarre is that's kind of covered up by the other report that he took this belt and somehow impossibly hung himself, asphyxiated himself from the door, and doorknob and door, which, you know, if you diagram it out, it doesn't even make sense that someone could do that. So it's almost like the possibility exists that for some reason his programming triggered a suicide program, and he went through it. Typically, men who are programmed follow through on the suicide programming. The majority of women that are programmed will act out, but they won't actually do it. That's why, even though fewer men try suicide, more men actually succeed than women. So that's what I can share. A lot of people have asked me for my input, so I appreciate you asking, because might, you know, give some people that are interested in the whole phenomenon.
So, Fritz, what do you think about the coincidence the BBC aired an episode of The Family Guy that showed Robin Williams talking about a failed suicide attempt?
In the past, we've seen a lot of this, what truthers are calling predictive programming. We've seen a lot of things, you know, Alex Jones has shown a lot of the things that were shown for 10 years prior to 9/11, you know, in a cartoon showing planes flying into the World Trade Centers and stuff like this. So yeah, this is definitely one of their little bags of tricks that they use, is to show something just prior to it happening. So, you know, we can't state for certainty that it's definitely connected, but on the basis of the way they've done things in the past, that would be very standard operating procedure.
Hmm. Well, we've definitely seen that a lot in the media, these things that are just too coincidental. Well, what do you think about the fact that Ferguson, a lot of what they're saying is that it's due to the economic disparity there, that this is really kind of a ramping up of ongoing, it's not just the abuse at the hands of the police that the citizens there are feeling, but there's so much economic disparity. Is that also part of the plan? And what do you see for the world economy?
Yeah, we definitely are seeing a lot of disparity. You know, in the last few years, like in 1980, the Fortune 200 CEOs had a ratio of 42-1 in income with the average worker. And now it's over 500-1. So there's this enormous trend of the rich and the powerful getting richer and more powerful, and the common person barely being able to make it and just getting poor. And the blacks, as being one of the groups that have been they've had a difficult time, they started advocating for their civil rights in the 60s, but, you know, they've had their share of difficulties, and so they're sensitive to these kind of things. And so it is definitely something that will trigger a lot of resentment. They're not the only ones that are suffering, but they're definitely one group that is very sensitive to how the country's economy is falling apart. And why is it falling apart? It's planned that way. It's planned from several different directions. One is the way the world sets up their economic system. It's designed to collapse. I mean, we've got fractional banking. We've got the U.S. government having to go to the Fed to borrow every dollar that it uses and get in debt for every dollar that it uses. We've got a lot of, we've got built-in inflationary mechanisms. And then, of course, on top of that, the agenda of the elite, the Illuminati's agenda, is for an economic collapse. So not only do we have natural built-in mechanisms for it happen, but they want it to happen. And so you see the Fed talking about capital controls. That's a warning sign, a red flag, that we've got something really serious on the horizon here. And indeed we have. I've been warning people that these next few months are going to be a time of significant danger. You know, I don't want to put any date on anything, but Americans need to realize that United States has gotten rid of their gold. I mean, they said that their FT900 report was saying that our government exported 217 tons of gold last year. Where that came from, nobody knows. The figures that they're giving us are totally fictitious. Mm-hmm. That the U.S. doesn't have gold. When the Germans wanted their gold that we were supposed to be safekeeping for them, we couldn't give it to them. And the little bit that we did send was not their gold. None of it was gold that they had deposited with us. It was something else that was not even of the same purity. So I don't know if that's going to catch up with our government, that our government's been lying, because our dollars depend on the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which, you know, I don't know why anyone would have faith in this government. One of the things that Obama shamelessly did was he contributed to the economic power leaving the United States. And that was the Europeans proposed this G20, meetings, which, you know, the United States still has, relative to the rest of the world, quite a bit of economic, power, so to speak. But when you go to these G20 meetings, the Europeans get 5 votes, we get 1 vote. Mm-hmm. And then the advisor, the head of the G20 meetings, is the IMF head. Well, the Europeans decide who's head of the IMF, which is Christine Lagarde from France, she's an Illuminati member, by the way. And these controllers in these European Illuminati who are manipulating things, you know, they get to decide who's head of the IMF. And so that's just one example. There's other examples. You know, the International Organization of Securities Commissions, they regulate our markets, not only the world's markets, but the U.S. markets. BIS in Basel, Switzerland, they govern banking regulators. So Americans think that we're sovereign, but all of these economic controls are with the Europeans. They're outside of the United States. And you might see here, I have a chart showing that red diagram there is showing that this is Belgium's, how much Belgium just last year bought in U.S. Treasury notes. That's $412 billion. Well, Belgium, what's Belgium got? Well, it's got these Illuminati kingpins that are working through front companies in Belgium. That's showing that these European Illuminati kingpins are buying U.S. Treasury debt. And why would they do that? Because that gives them a say in U.S. policy. So they're in a situation where they can tell Obama what to do. They can tell the Fed what to do because they've got us. And meanwhile, Russia and China, the BRICS countries, are waging economic war against us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can recognize a shooting war, you know, if one country invades another, but there isn't a lot of information or awareness how countries can attack you economically. And China and Russia have been doing that. And they're working on dethroning the United States as the world's reserve currency. They're halfway towards that. And so one of the things that I've been warning Americans about is one of the big signs that things are going to totally go south, collapse on America, is when America gets dethroned as the world reserve currency. It may end up not just one currency replacing us, but several. But at any rate, these countries are working as hard as they can to do that. And that means that United States will no longer be able to shamelessly inflate their currency and just print up every month billions of dollars. But we're going, because if we do that, if we continue to do that like we're doing right now, we're going to get into inflation or hyperinflation. So we're going to be accountable for our wild economic policies, which so far in the world, when we inflate our currency, it's like a tax on the whole world, because there's more U.S. dollars outside of the United States than there are in the United States. So when we inflate our currency, the rest of the world has to pay the price for our wild fiscal spending. Putin said that the Eurasian model, this is the model that they're trying to replace the previous way the world worked. He said it's going to be more successful model for the new world. So they've got an entire economic system that they have negotiated and they're working to bring in. And so we are in an economic war. We've got so many things working against us. The BRIC countries, the Illuminati. It's like, and then our own, bad fiscal policies, you know, of just overspending.
Right. What does it mean when the government is basically bankrupting all of its citizens while simultaneously collapsing the border? What is the purpose of that?
Yeah, they're destroying our culture and they're making it hard for us to work together. It's a divide and conquer thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of what Ferguson's about. That's part of bringing in all of these foreigners through Mexico, is we've got people that are not committed to this country. We've got all of this tension. I spent a lot of time visiting with Mexicans, I'm not talking about Mexican Americans. I'm talking about Mexicans that have come over from Mexico, what their attitudes are, why they've come. And, one representative of the group, I could say, this one Mexican told me, he said, you know, I came to America to make money and I'm going to make it whether I have to have a job or steal it. But one way or the other, I'm going to go back to Mexico with money.
Hmm.
There is no concept there of constitutional values or what America means to us. It's just a means to an end. you know, if he has to steal a car and take it back to Mexico and sell it or whatever, you know, and he wasn't the only one that's spoken to me like that. And so we're seeing this divide and conquer, the breakdown of our culture, the breakdown of the structures in the United States that would allow us to deal with problems.
Well, what are some triggers that we should be paying attention to? Just for instance, I was just watching on CNN and they were talking about how there were provocateurs or there's rumors of provocateurs coming into Ferguson. And it's almost like with the Family Guy episode where they sort of put it out there what's going on, but they present it in a way that they're just trying to get to the bottom of it when they're the ones that are sending in the provocateurs. But, you know, but are there some other triggers or things that we should really be watching for to just help us, you know, not fall victim to the PSYOP?
One of the things that was significant was your one reporter there, when he got in there, he noticed that the police were allowing people to loot and destroy, arson. They were not stopping the real criminals. And in the past, we've repeatedly seen this kind of behavior where the police repeatedly bent over backwards to help the criminal elements in the protest. And then all of a sudden you get this huge overreaction where they surround the peaceful protesters and then they move in, and you'll have women with children that will be beaten down. Once they beat people down, they'll grab them by the hair. They'll take pepper spray and spray each eye at close quarters. So, you know, and some of these people are almost killed by the brutal tactics. In fact, actually, in some of these protests, there are people that are killed. And so then you just get this huge overreaction. Well, what's that do? It solidifies hate in the people that have been brutalized. So you create this civil war type scenario or mentality. Mm-hmm. And so instead of trying to resolve the problem, they're exacerbating it. That's a big clue. That's a big clue that this is a PSYOP operation that they want to happen, because instead of dealing with it, I know that they're giving a lot of verbiage, you know, they're talking real sweet, you know, we want calmness and everything. But if, you know, actions speak louder than words. Look at their actions. What are they actually doing? They're bringing in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. The National Guard should not move in as police. There have been, historically, there have been numerous times where National Guard, you know, back in Ludlow, Colorado, back in the early part of the 20th century, they brought in the National Guard on trains with machine guns. And there was a miner strike because they were upset at how the mining company was cheating them out of their pay. The store was cheating them and everything. They had gone on strike. They actually machine gunned down women and children and strikers. That's the National Guard has a, you know, Kent State's another example of where you bring in the National Guard as police, and you can expect that there's going to be an excessive use of force, because these men have not been trained to be police. Mm-hmm. You know, this happens typically worldwide. And so when you see them doing these kind of things, even though their mouths are saying one thing, their actions speak louder than their words.
Right. And well, this whole situation in Ferguson has brought to the collective consciousness of America that, wow, we are living in a police state. So it almost seems like the mainstream media kind of rolled in there to help control this narrative, where people were really beginning to say, well, wait a minute, why are we arming our local police stations with military grade weapons? And now we kind of see the media really showing all the looting and the rioting and showing all the danger to sort of justify the need for all of this heavy equipment in our local police departments. Now they're kind of calling for, a CNN anchor today said, well, why not use water cannons? And, you know, just kind of making this okay somehow, the new norm.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been a campaign going on for a couple decades to normalize the militarization of our police. And it's pretty amazing. You know, we had a bank robbery here. Oh, it was in 97. And it occurred across the river in Vancouver, Washington. And they moved through an entire area of Vancouver, Washington with militarized police that were dressed just like a Nazi stormtrooper wannabes, you know, mm-hmm. with the black helmets and the black uniforms. And they went through an entire section of town and just terrorized the people. They marched up to people's houses and just opened doors, slammed doors open, you know, just like you were, like it was World War II and the Nazi army was moving into some Russian village or something, terrorized the whole people, getting people used to this kind of brutality. And then the Oregonian, our local paper here in Portland, Oregon, had a big front page picture of four officers. And I tell you, you would have a hard time telling them apart from SS troops. I mean, their helmets just looked like German helmets. They were all in black. They had weapons. And they're walking, four of them abreast. And that was on the front page. And the only reason that a paper in our paper's controlled by people back east, the only reason that they would be doing that is to acclimate people to this police state. You know, this is what, you know, and the younger people don't know any different. I talk to younger people and I tell them, this isn't the way it was when I grew up. Mm-hmm. This is not the way the police acted. And they look at me like, what?
Right. Yeah, people find it unbelievable when I say that I grew up in a little town and the police officers used to give me a ride home if it was raining. Like, they were just really nice. They were there to protect and serve. Well, one last question for you. Is there any way to beat this thing? What can we do? I mean, clearly the Illuminati and all these plans have been going on for generations. Is there anything that we can do?
Well, there are a lot of things that we can do. And I spend a lot of time giving people suggestions and ideas. You know, I write articles every day on Facebook, which anybody is welcome to read. The underlying thing is there's a scripture in the Bible that says faith overcomes the world. By extension, faith overcomes the new world order. So the beginning thing that we need is we need to have faith that there's a good God and that he has our best interest at heart. And then the next thing that we need to do is we need to realize that good people are going to stand up for what's right. And, you know, we do a lot of things in life and we don't know what the end result's going to be. We start a trip, but we don't know if we're going to succeed in getting to where we're going. The same way with this, we're on a trip. We got to do what's right, and we'll just have to step forward in faith and let the chips fall where they fall. A good person can't just sit there and allow these crimes against humanity, crimes against the American people, to continue. We need to do what we can, and you know we're not God. We can't predict how successful this will be, but that's the basis, that's the foundation of all these other suggestions that I come out with. That, you know, and like I say, there's some of the protests over the years have actually succeeded. Sukarno, the head of Indonesia, you know, brought down East Timor has got their independence. A lot of things over time have changed. People, the common person, have been able to bring change in this world. It doesn't come easy, but at least one can look oneself in the mirror in the evening and feel like, okay, I've done my part. You know, I can look God eye to eye and say, you know, I did what I could for my family and for my country, and we'll just have to, let the chips fall where they fall as God, is our, he's the one who ultimately is going to be our success.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And that's, you know, that's what this is all about, is just having faith and knowing that, it really is a battle for your soul, and just knowing that you fought the good fight and did what you can as a, you know, being a good human to help out your fellow man and, you know, fight for what we have while we're here. Well, Fritz, thank you so much for joining us today. And I think we're going to try and have you on the Alex Jones Show sometime next week. So hopefully you'll have an hour and get really in depth with all of this. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Leanne.
Well, you can pick up your copy of Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier. We sell it exclusively at the InfoWars store. And we brought you this extended interview with Fritz tonight because our listeners and our readers are really into the information that he provides. And you can get more extended interviews just like this one with Fritz Springmeier. We've also got instant access to the Alex Jones Show and all of our special reports and more at Prison Planet TV. You can become a member and share your username and password with up to 11 people at the same time. That is instant access to all the information you need to fight the info war. And you can share it with your friends. And of course, your support helps us to run this operation and give you this extended coverage that you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight. And we'll see you here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Blocket Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. Or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.